I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right. Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price. The time is...
Psst, oi, over here. Do you want to buy this? It's the centre of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi! Oi, come back! Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture and free thinking. It's the second live OgCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
One, two, three.
Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules!
Thank you.
Showtime!
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that will lick it bad. For the stream link, go direct to dlfgs.org. And the IRC channel is a linuxtech.net bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 344, 12 away from a year's worth of tilts.
Finally starting.
What you said.
Yeah, just think about everybody. It, man. 12 more episodes and you will have a year's worth of TLLTS.
That's evil.
That's one episode.
And or JP if you might listen to them all.
Turn your stuff down just a bit.
I am not loud. It's all a figment of your imagination.
That's better, John.
No, you're loud enough. You're like clipping out.
Now you are loud, Alan. Really loud.
Okay, I'll speak farther away.
All right, that's it. Just drop the microphone and go across the room. Talk at it, like Link does, right, Link? And all right, speaking anyway. Of Link, we have a wonderful guest tonight, Christian Linhart.
Hello.
A returning guest. How are you doing, Christian?
I'm fine, thanks.
And he has brought with him an army of giant ants, which you will hear periodically coming if you're familiar with the movie Them.
It's menu
or
notebook
giant
and
Christian, you were on the show way back in another episode.
Three and a half years ago.
Yeah, so about, yeah. 2006.
And you came on to talk about Demo Recorder, so why don't you fill us in on some of the stuff you've been up to since then, and you can talk about Demo Recorder, too.
Yeah, I just tell what I did with Demo Recorder in the last 3 years. I added some features to it. One is an OpenGL animation mode, so it's possible to record animation, OpenGL stuff. It also records the main desktop. I added multi-core support for the exporters. Since then, multi-core CPUs have become pretty popular, and it's good to support them. Another thing was Okay, I did some smaller changes, but I don't remember them all. I have to look the documentation up, like every user. Then I did some changes in the general offer, added site licenses, which was good for my revenue, and paid custom development. In my general life and business, some things have changed. I have now more time for Demo Recorder because I've reduced the amount I spend in my employee job. That's also good.
Has Demo Recorder allowed you to reduce the time
yes.
that you work? So it's been profitable for you?
It starts being profitable this year. And actually, I did it the other way around. I reduced the amount of time in the employee job, and I expected to the Demo Recorder will replace the revenue, and this worked out well. So I took the risk, and then it worked out.
That's pretty sweet.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know the background behind Demo Recorder, basically it's a screencasting application that's closed source. It's completely commercial. You offer very good features. I haven't seen any of the other open source screencasting apps that have as much stuff built into it as Demo Recorder has. And I actually use it. I bought it when you came on the first time. And I've been using it on and off, and it still works very well. And the nicest thing about it is being able to export into all these different formats pretty easily.
And actually, most of the features that Demo Recorder has have been initiated by users, so they told me their wishes, and I listen a lot to the wishes of customers, and then I implement these wishes, so it's really a feedback loop, so I think that that's the right way to run a software business, to listen to the demands of the users and make it implement these wishes. It's a kind of putting down your own ego and making stuff for the users. That's my basic philosophy of making a software.
Now, you offer packages for Debian and Ubuntu, and I think you also have a generic Linux installer.
I have a GGZ tarball, basically, which you can untar on every Linux distribution. You don't even need to run an installer, so just unpack it under slash opt and you're ready to use it. And then there is a package, an RPM package, which is for Red Hat and similar distributions, and then it's a Debian package which works on Ubuntu and Debian and related distributions.
Yeah, I mean, you can use some of the open people, you know, I definitely suggest they check out some of the open source solutions, but they should definitely check out Demo Recorder too, just to compare, you know, feature-wise and whether or not, you know, it's worth for them to spend the money to get the ease of use and the export functions that you have with all the different formats. I mean, you make it really ridiculously easy to get your recordings out in all different formats.
Yes, and that's also part of the philosophy of Demo Recorder, that when you record, you record to a master format, which enables you to export your video to many different things. So I think that the major effort in making a video is to record it, and so you should be able to use it on as many places and resolutions and so on as you want, so the effort you put into the video, making the video, is used optimally.
And just to follow up regarding the master format, somebody had sent us an email. They're wondering if we could ask you why Demo Recorder utilizes a proprietary master format. So that there's a full explanation on your website.
There is a technical reason for this. The reason is, okay, there are multiple technical reasons. One is that there is no open format which is well suited for a live recording of a screen content. That's a CPU usage issue in one thing. The other thing is that the master format of Demo Recorder is a lossless format. And most open formats are lossy formats, and they are not well suited for screen content because they have been optimized for compressing stuff which your real life stuff, like things that you record with a video camera. So there isn't an open format which is up to the task. So I had to develop an own format. And since you...
Could you just give us a little background of how you initially developed Demo Recorder? What was the progress and how it came about?
It has a long history. It started back in 1997. So it's 13 years old. It started out as a contracting project from a small company which got a contract from a bigger company, and the smaller company went out of business, so and I managed to keep the rights of it. It didn't have the features that it has now, and it has been used for other applications. So it has run on Solaris and was used to do long-term recordings of system operations, which is not quite the application which is used now. It didn't have sound support back then and so on. Then it for some time I didn't do anything with it, and I reactivated it because the big company needed another version of it. And sometime I was brave enough to stop my employee job, which I had back then completely, and to start the business with Demo Recorder. And I made it for a more general audience. It didn't start up on a business level. It didn't start up as quickly as I had wished, so I had to get another employee job. And I think now I'm on a good track again to make this a full-time income business.
Now, how much
time
do
you devote?
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to ask a question. You know, selling a closed source commercial application, how has the revenue stream gone?
It has gone up slowly. Except for this year, there is more acceleration of it. So I think the rough number is it has the growth was about 20% per year, and this year I think it will double compared to the last year, and that's why I get in the profit zone now.
So how many how much time do you devote a day to Demo Recorder now?
It's on a weekday. I devote about 3 hours. These are 2 hours in the commute to my job, and 1 hour during lunch break. And on a weekend, I usually spend 4 or 5 hours on Saturday and 4 or 5 hours on Sunday. So in sum, it's a little more than 20 hours per week.
And is a lot of that time like support and bug fixing, or are you actually developing new components?
The time is used as follows. Roughly half of the time is, I think, is support and communicating with customers. And I think that's very important to be connected to the customer. Then about 30% is, well, the rest is divided into development and then marketing and sales and administration. So real development is maybe 20 to 30% of my time.
Now, Demo Recorder is, if I'm not mistaken, strictly for Linux, right?
Currently it's for Linux, but I will start a Solaris port very soon because I have been contracted for doing that. So there will be a port for Solaris 8 on Spark systems. That's the first non-Linux platform for Demo Recorder.
That's pretty sweet. How did that come about?
A customer needed it for this platform, and he asked me whether I can port it to that, and then we talked about the cost and so on. Basically, the setup is as follows. The customer pays for 10% of the development cost, and the other 90% is invested by myself. And if I happen to sell a lot of licenses on that platform, the customer gets his contribution to the development cost back. So I think that's fair. And this is a customer who has ordered Demo Recorder before for Linux, and now he needs it for another platform.
Has there been any requests supported to something like Mac OS X or Windows?
No, none for a Mac OS X. I think some have asked for Windows, but I declined these requests because Demo Recorder is very hard to port to Linux. So this is only very, very long term perspective, I think. And really, I don't like Windows so much.
I don't understand that.
And there is another platform, another Linux platform which I think may be interesting. It's the new Nokia cell phone, the N900. I don't have it yet, but it may be an interesting platform to port Demo Recorder to. But I didn't get any requests for that yet.
Now, you have also said you were working on another tool, an animation tool. What was that?
No, it's not an animation tool. It's another recording mode for Demo Recorder. It's already available. It's the OpenGL animation mode. Contrary to the traditional recording mode, it records the main desktop. And you can select a part of the screen with a red rectangle and record just the area within, or you can record the full screen. And it is capable of recording OpenGL stuff, such as the new visual effects of Linux desktops or games. I have a demo video on the website where I recorded a PP Racer game, and it gets quite good frame rates if you have the right hardware. So it works pretty well on NVIDIA cards.
Does that tie in any way together with Demo Recorder?
It's just another mode of Demo Recorder, so it generates the same master format. You can use the same exporters to multiple formats. You just have to start Demo Recorder with a different option, so it's Demo Recorder is still a program which has a pretty small GUI, and several things have to be set with command line options. I think it's really interesting that most users for Demo Recorder don't demand to have everything done to it through a GUI, so they are happy with the command line options. I think that's pretty special about the Linux platform. So if I develop a if you sell software for Windows, I think you cannot get away with having lots of features only usable through the command line.
That makes sense. What else have you been working on besides those two things?
For Demo Recorder, not so many things. It's pretty much smaller changes, such as hotkeys for the OpenGL mode and being able to control it through sending commands to standard in. So some customers integrated into their software, I think, and it's pretty much a lots of small changes. No other spectacular things.
Do you use Demo Recorder yourself on a regular basis?
Pardon, I didn't understand. There was some.
Oh, do you yourself use Demo Recorder on a regular basis other than testing?
Actually, no. I'm so busy running the business and adding features and so on that I really don't use it a lot. I wanted to record some demo video for showing how to operate some things in Demo Recorder, and I almost did it, but then I started procrastinating, which is pretty interesting. I think that maybe typically for recording videos. I found lots of excuses why not to record it. It was one thing was that the sound card of my notebook is not the best one. These are the ants coming, which you hear probably when I stop speaking. Then I was in a bad mood. And if you record a video and you talk to it, then you hear the bad mood. Then I thought about a request from another customer. He told me that he doesn't like recording audio too, and would like to prefer adding subtitles. And I think that's one of the next features which I'll implement. So it will be possible to record videos without talking to it, and still communicating some messages with them. I think it's also good for people who are listening to the to videos to have an option to have videos without sound, because if you listen to a video, say if you are sitting in a train or. Or if you're sitting in an office and you don't have some headphones, your colleagues wouldn't like to have your computer produce a lot of noise. And to your original question, I think I should use Demo Recorder more myself, because the experience of why I procrastinate the recording a video or other experiences using it will also improve it. So it's important to listen to customers, but I think it's also important to get more of the eating my own dog food experience.
Mm-hmm.
Was this quite surprising for you that I don't use demo recorder on a regular basis besides the testing?
Well, if you're not doing demonstrations, then it makes perfect sense that you're not using it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to like one of the sites I see for like screencasts that people do is Show Me Do, and they list demo record as a recommended application to use for Linux users.
Which is I didn't understand the website or the company.
ShowMeDo.com.
ShowMeDo.com. I didn't know that they recommend demo recorder. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a very good website if you're looking for like technical tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of different topics, you know, programming, using different applications.
Mm-hmm.
I've put up a couple related to MythTV up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I used. I used Demo Recorder when I did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just opened the website, is it? I haven't seen it yet, but that's interesting.
Here, I'll put the link in the RSC. It's a very good website.
Mm-hmm.
Here, hold on. I'll put it in the RSC. And I can even put some links to the demos that I did. I mean, mm-hmm. screencast, you can even do it directly from FFmpeg on the command line, you know, but the thing is, you know, you're not going to have the really easy way of encoding to different formats unless you really know FFmpeg. And FFmpeg, you know, it's very powerful, but mm-hmm. there's so many different flags and options that you could put in there to get it to do different things, and it's not simple for someone who's new to it, you know.
Yeah,
people don't want to spend the time to learn that.
Mm-hmm. And if you use FFmpeg for the capture, you have the limitations of the output format. So if you capture to MPEG directly, for example, you have the high CPU usage of encoding MPEG, and this will reduce the achievable frame rate, I guess. I didn't try it, but it's... it's an educated guess. And actually, since you mentioned FFmpeg, the exporters of Demo Recorder, some of them use FFmpeg internally. So they hide the options of FFmpeg from the user.
I just put a link to my page as I did it. I did a couple of them doing installs of this one too, so there's a couple of them in there. And those are done with Demo Recorder. It seems what's interesting is when you fire up Demo Recorder, it almost does a whole X session within Demo Recorder. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's the default recording mode. It's kind of like a XNest. And it's... this recording mode is only usable if you don't use OpenGL or some advanced animations of desktops. But it has some advantages because you don't have to tidy up your desktop before recording and things like that. So you just start it and... do your recording. Did you try the OpenGL mode yet?
I have not, no.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try it out. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. The details are in the FAQ and on Demo Recorder if you're looking for them. It's the first FAQ entry.
I'll give it a go. We'll see how, see how it works. I use a USB headset, and it works pretty well.
Does it have
I guess my suggestion for an improvement, I guess, would be the GUI, being able to do the configuration on the fly, you know, and just through the GUI instead of having to actually go into the configuration file. I mean, me personally, I don't mind going into a configuration file and updating it through an editor. Somebody else might.
Actually, most Linux users don't mind editing config files.
Yeah, the real Linux, Linux users that have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah, new users, especially those who are using more user-friendly distributions such as Ubuntu or so, I heard some complaints about not being able to do everything through the GUI. So improving the GUI will also be one of the next things to do, I guess.
What are you using for your toolkit for the widgets?
The old recording mode with the nested screen is made with Motif. It was demanded by the contractor back then, and I didn't
Motif,
change the framework.
Yeah.
Okay, so a pretty old framework, not used for new projects nowadays.
No, not at all.
And the OpenGL mode doesn't have a GUI framework, a general GUI framework. It uses its own, because it has a very easy, limited, or very, very small GUI. It's just the red rectangle, and then you have a small box with a few buttons in it. And since Demo Recorder works very low level, a framework would just interfere with the operation of Demo Recorder. So I connect directly to Xlib and the X protocol.
I mean, it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the real power is when you're done with your screencast and you want to just put it in all different formats. And you have a directory of the scripts, right, where you can do the different formats?
Mm-hmm. It's, the formats are also purely through command line. I made a small GUI using TickleTK for doing the export. So it's not official yet, but I think I have included it in the last release already. You just call DemoRig exporter, and then you come to the GUI.
I'll try that out. See how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody who's going to do screen tests, you know, definitely try everything. Try doing it with FFmpeg. Try some of the other ones, some of the other applications that are out there, and also try out Demo Recorder. You know. Some people have, this aversion to using closed-source apps. That's a personal choice. But if you're just looking for something that's easy to use, that's, relatively inexpensive price, with excellent, support, you're great with the support.
Oh, thanks.
It's a good option. And, you're an independent developer, If you're not working for a company, you're basically a one-man operation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's also a philosophical thing. I think that a developer should own the rights to his own code. And actually, it's funny. I have been inspired by Richard Stallman to make a commercial software. So I think I have to explain this one.
Go ahead.
I read the new manifesto of from Richard Stallman long time ago, and he wrote about the problems that developers have when they work for somebody else and they don't have the rights to their code. They cannot share the code. They cannot do what they want with it, and so on. And I think Yeah, he's right. It, for a developer, it doesn't feel good if you just give away the code. Or so, if somebody else has the rights to the code, has the rights to direct you what to do and so on. And I think back then I thought that one possibility is to make open source. The other one is to just do your own a software company. Then you also have the rights to your own code, and then you're free to make it a commercial license or whatever. Nobody can interfere with the direction your code goes, and what you do with your code. And I think it's easier to make a commercial application and try to make a business out of it than to just do open source coding. Because if you just do open source and you don't have a business model which works well with open source, then you have to do it in your leisure time. And the problem with that is that I think for most people they don't get a lot done in their leisure time. So if I speak for me, if I start a purely open source non-profit project, I just wouldn't have the discipline to work on it for consistently, so it will never get finished.
To me, when I look at closed source apps, you know, some people, when they come from Linux and free software, open source software, they don't want any closed proprietary software. Personally, my feelings are is that if you have a tool that's closed and works great, and it works better than what the open source tools are, it's okay to go with the closed source app if that's the case. I don't have a problem with it, personally.
Fine. That's pretty much my approach, too. So if I need some tool for something, I also first look at the open source options. And if they don't live up to the task, then I look for a commercial option. So I think it's a natural thing to do. And of course, there are lots of advantages for open source things too. Man, it's not only the price. It's I think open source applications have more long-term stability in the availability, especially compared to closed source applications from big corporations, because big corporations tend to be they jump around a lot, so they start developing a commercial application, then they drop it, they do something else. So I think you don't get any consistent long-term reliability from a big corporation. Except maybe for the really big players like Microsoft. So, but some medium-sized, it depends. If they are owned by, if they are a family-owned corporation, a private-owned corporation, then you may get a consistent service. But if they are publicly traded, they are just bought by another company, then everything is turned over. So.
Well, it's definitely a very good application, and I definitely recommend people to check it out. If they're looking to do a screencast, definitely, you know, look at it, consider it. It may be worth the use, for their purposes. And Christian, what's the website?
The website is demorecorder.com.
And you can try it out for free without purchasing, correct?
Yeah, there's a 30-day free trial. It has full functionality, so not even any watermarks or so. So you can do the complete work. So if you just need to do one recording and that's all. You need not pay anything. So you just do your recording and that's it. That's just if you use it on a
I appreciate you coming on the show, Christian, to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's very late in Australia from, and we appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a very nice job with the application. You know, people definitely check it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's an option.
And actually, it's early morning for me because I went to bed early and I will stay up then. Because it's no use to go to bed.
It's going to catch up with you.
I think it's not so much of a problem because the most important sleep is the sleep before midnight. And I got that.
Well, you're lucky then.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Christian. It was nice talking to you again. You know, it's been a long time.
You're welcome.
You know, best of luck with the program, and we'll talk again in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And that was Christian. Website again is demoreporter.com.
She's going to have to mute herself again.
Okay. I've just have one more thing to say.
Sure,
I almost
go ahead,
forgot it. There is a promotion for TLT for listeners of this show. So that the first 10 customers who order within a week from this interview get a 27% discount. And for that, you just enter the following coupon code into the online shop. It's TLLTS10. So it's just the abbreviation of the show and then 10 for the year 2010.
Awesome.
Thanks.
So if anyone wants to purchase it, you got a nice basic discount, courtesy of Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, it was nice talking with you and...
Yep. Best of luck, all right? Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Ba-ba-ba. Sorry.
Tea's ready.
Yeah.
What kind of tea you guys going to have? I'm going to have Earl Grey. Hot.
I think I'm going to have some chai tea or maybe some English breakfast tea, you know?
And you can always go with the old classic.
I'm really craving it now, you know?
Lemon and honey with your tea? That's good.
Sounds delicious. Everybody meet at Pat's house.
Will you be handing out Red Hot Mamas?
Red Hot Mamas and tea.
What? Wait a second. Hold on a second. Joel, what happened now? Before you were blazing loud. Now we could barely even hear you.
It's because I'm not talking up on the mic like I am right now.
All right, that's better.
That sounds better, yeah.
I can hear what you're saying. Thank you. Whoa.
Yeah.
Where have you been, old man? You've been working.
Which old man?
Link's got a new toy.
You.
Yeah, I've been working.
You got a new toy? What'd you get?
My Motorola droid, man.
Oh,
phone?
I thought you got like something new.
It's
new.
Awesome. No, he's never talked about
new,
it.
New? Are you kidding? I have no money, man. I can't afford.
No, he's spending all on the phone.
Actually, that was my birthday money that I spent on my phone. My parents sent me money for my birthday, and that's how I got my droid. Otherwise, I wouldn't have that either. Shoot, I don't know. You know, if I can't sell. Trying to sell a Spark Station Voyager and my N-800. If I can't sell some shit, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to the conventions this year because I am broke.
Don't worry about it, man. Pat said he paid for all of us.
Right.
Yeah. Keep dreaming, pal.
There you go.
I got my own things to pay for.
That's just one.
Yeah,
we're all
going to
go on the Gorkon ticket.
Yes, we've all drunk the Kool-Aid, man. We're all doing the Android. Hell, even Chad Wallenberg, he got a droid too, I think.
A droid or Nexus?
He got a droid.
He got a droid, yeah.
The droid is
I'm
good.
I'm about ready for new ones.
I have seen the droid, and the droid is good.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are, yep.
Sure are. Yeah, my.
So how you liking the Android, Link?
I love it, dude.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
I spent a long time hemming and hawing about this whole smartphone thing. Like, what the hell do I really need a smartphone that does all that shit for? Kind of deal.
But now that
I
you have one, now
a phone
you have...
that just dials the damn phone, you know? However, that being said, once I got off my butt, got one that I can read my email on and I can legitimately surf the web on and place Pandora phenomenally and the movies look awesome on it and, you know, on and on and on. It's really cool. You know what I mean? It's especially with the 5-megapixel camera. That's a decent camera, right? Especially for
oh,
a
yeah.
cell phone. So I really am digging it. I really am. I think, you know what, and this sounds really stupid, right? But the thing I am probably tickled with the most about this phone is the fact that my ringtones don't suck. Because I have had the shittiest phone for the past, I don't know, 8-10 years cell phone. That had the crappiest ringtone on it, and you could not get anything else, right? And now I have a ringtone that actually sounds like it doesn't suck. So,
well, basically, now you can actually have MP3s for ringtone.
Yeah,
you
don't
have to pay
MP3s
through the nose
and all
get
kinds
good
of other
ones.
Stuff. It's pretty cool, man.
Yep, you don't have to encode them at all or nothing. I know with the older phones, like, you had to, like, encode them. Certain phones wouldn't play a regular MP3. You had to encode
them. OX support on the Android, right? Like, it has full OX support right out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to piss with anything. I just, like, I dropped Russ Winter's podcast. I dropped one of them on there the other day. And, you know, it just I dropped the OG on and it just played it. You know? From Podio Books, right? Did an audio book from there.
This sucks.
Played it right off.
This sucks. I don't like Listen. I'd rather use, I use Dogcatcher. I paid, $3 for it. And Dogcatcher is more like...
It's going for $7 now, Dogcatcher.
Huh?
It goes for $7 now. He sells it for
it. Oh, wow. He raised the price. Yeah.
What is Dogcatcher?
It's a podcast aggregator, RSS feed aggregator, and video podcast aggregator.
It's more along the lines of a traditional one. The Listen works, but it's kind of meh. You know.
Yeah, when I tried Listen on the G1 going back a while ago, it kind of sucked. I thought it was not that good.
Nope, they need a lot.
They had any real problems with it?
Well, they. Recently, they added the ability to add your own RSS feeds on there, which you kind of gotta, because their database really blows.
You're talking about Listen, right?
Right.
Yeah. I got the Nexus since Friday, and I really love it. It's a pretty outstanding phone. It's a huge jump coming from a G1. Okay, I mean, on the G1, I had CyanogenMod running, and, you know, it was cool. CyanogenMod, he backported a bunch of stuff from, like, the 2 testing branch back into 1.6.
Just brought out a new one,
and
too.
You could do certain things that, like, you couldn't do on a stock 1.6 ROM, like pinch to zoom and multi, you know, finger gestures and whatnot. You know, so you couldn't do that, and he had other things in there as well. You know, little speed ups. He had, like, you know, being able to install from the SD card, which is nice. But honestly, the bump up in the hardware from the G1 to the Nexus is insane. The Nexus has got a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, okay, and it's got a beautiful 800x480 display. You know, it's comparable to the Droid. I know a couple of people that I work with that have the Droid, and Alan's got the Droid. The Droid's a very nice phone. I like that a lot. It's very comparable. The biggest difference between the Nexus and the Droid is the Nexus doesn't have a physical keyboard. You know, you use the soft keyboard. And to me, that was a big deal. That was my biggest concern going to the Nexus, because I really liked the hardware keyboard on the G1. Okay? But honestly, I'm not missing it. Like when I do the virtual keyboard in landscape mode, it's pretty good. It, you know, I
told you wouldn't miss it.
I was actually surprised. And one of the really big things is the voice recognition software on the Nexus is pretty amazing. Really, I do. You know, I start talking into the thing, and for the most part, it recognizes what the hell I'm saying. You know, granted, there's mistakes. You know, and if you talk fast, it's not gonna do it as well as if you talk a little more slower. And if you have an accent, it definitely has issues with it. But, you know, if you try to, like, sound a little more neutral, talk a little slower, it works pretty well.
Don't talk
I'd
like
say.
Fab. Yeah, don't
yeah,
talk
well,
like
I worked with a Russian lady, and she was having problems with the voice on the Droid. She was saying it wasn't recognizing her, because, you know, she's got a Russian accent, you know, it's kind of tough. I don't know what kind of algorithm they use to
I found that when I first started trying to use the voice stuff on the Droid, when I first got it, it didn't understand a whole lot. But since they did the upgrade on it, it works a lot better now.
Yeah.
On the G1, too. Not much, though.
But I tell you what, though, the really big thing that I notice is besides the beautiful display and the faster processor, everything just flies on the Nexus, man. It's insane. Like, the web experience is so much better than it was with the G1. You know, the pages come up fast. They look great. They're really readable. You know, it's just night and day, the web experience, compared to the G1. It plays, you know, the media stuff very well. OGG, MP3s, no problems. I've encoded a bunch of videos from my NIFBox on today using FFmpeg. And I tried some different settings, different quality settings, and they all look really good. I've been very happy with my results. The pictures look really good. Honestly, this, you know, since I got the thing, I've been using that as my audio player. I haven't used my sample
really?
Clip at all. Yeah, I haven't touched it. So I've been using that, and I'm actually considering, you know, I'm actually considering getting an app, you know, some kind of a podcast catcher that'll put it directly to the phone. I like it a lot. You know, it's really good. The thing about the Nexus, it also comes with a headset, earbuds, and it has a little dongle on there, so it has a little, like, a pause play button and a skip forward and a skip back. It also has a little microphone on there, so if you're listening to media through the headphones and you get a call, like, It'll pause the media and you'll hear the ringer like at a normal volume. It won't blow your eardrums out. You can use the little dongle on the earbuds to pick up the call, and you know, the microphone will pick up what you're saying. So you can, you know, if you're listening on the headphones, it works great. And then as soon as you hang it up, you know, the audio comes right back up. It's really nice.
Try it.
And there are some other applications. What's that?
Have you tried any Bluetooth headsets yet?
Yeah, just for calls. I've used that, the one I have currently.
I had a stereo one that worked. I enjoyed not having a wire. As long as you're not picky on the quality, Bluetooth stereo headsets are the way to go.
Yeah, my Bluetooth headset doesn't have any controls or anything, so I'm kind of liking the earbuds. I really like that. You know, one of my concerns was when I was using the N800, the Nokia N800 as a media player, it's tough with a touchscreen. You have to be able to look at it while you're operating the damn thing. At least with the controllers on the earbuds, you don't actually have to look at it while you're doing it. So if you're doing something else, you could just press the buttons on the little dongle, and it works pretty well. You could skip forward and backwards and pause and play and whatnot.
You could probably use some of the iPod ones, I think.
Probably. They sell other third-party ones, too, it'll probably work as well. Now the resolution on the Droid is what, 854 by 480, where it's 800 by 480 on the Nexus. But I those videos that I encoded, I popped my SD card out on my phone and I stuck it in my coworker's phone, or the Droid, and those videos play perfectly fine back with the same exact encoder settings. Now, Alan, you were using Handbrake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does work. I actually tried your script, and it works fine. The only thing I noticed about that script...
works well.
Yeah, you can use it just a command line, and it does a pretty good job of that. For some reason, though, it seemed to take a long time, longer than the FFmpeg for me.
I don't have a problem with it at all. I used the GUI on the Handbrake. I got the GUI version, and I just queue up. I really couldn't tell you how long it takes. I know it's not very long because I watched it once, but most of the time I queue up like four or five different videos, crap that I pulled off my TiVo, and I let it overnight, so I'm really not even paying much attention to it.
Yeah, that's
actually,
the best way
I've done
doing
the
it.
Same thing. I've done the same thing. I use my Neuralink, actually, to go ahead and process the videos because it's probably the fastest thing I've got. And I take my laptop and I use VobCopy and copy the DVDs onto a external USB hard drive, and then I just batch a whole bunch of movies, you know, three or four at a time. By the morning, they're all done.
Yeah, on cool. MythTV, they have what's called MythExport, and what it is, he has a whole bunch of like profiles preset where you can pick different devices that you want to export to, and you can do this within Myth. Now, he doesn't have anything in there for Android. I got my FFmpeg settings, have free quality settings. Like I said, they work fine for both the Nexus One and the Droid. I'm pretty sure if you just take that resolution and you drop it down to what the older Android devices, like the G1 or the MyTouch or the Hero, I think it's like, 320 by 240, Joel? Most of those older phones, that's what they have. So if you just drop that down to 320 by 240, right?
I think so.
320 by 240 standard EA.
Yeah, that's like the older devices, that's what they have. So if you take my FFmpeg settings and just drop the resolution down, it should work fine on the older phones as well. So what I'll do is I'll post in the IRC the thread in the forum, and you can take a look at the FFmpeg settings. I have three sets of settings. The lower one is really creates really small files, and the quality is actually very good. So even the lowest setting that I have on there, I think it's pretty good. So what I plan to do is I forwarded my settings to John Babb, the guy who does Myth Export. So hopefully he incorporates that as a default setting in Myth Export, so that you can go in through Myth and just write in the menus and check it off, and it'll go and take your recordings and re-encode them for you. You can set it up and point it to whatever directory you wanted to have it in. So it's a nice thing to have, you know. If you have a show or two that, you know, maybe your wife doesn't want to watch, you can always throw it on your phone and at lunchtime, you know, bring it up and watch it.
There you go. I do the same thing on I've actually taken some stuff that I've got off the internet and ran it through Handbrake so that it runs better on my netbook or whatever. Also my iPod as well. So I Handbrake is awesome. I don't use my phone for video much because I got the G1. And it's just a pain in the butt to deal with the dongle for the headphones, and the battery life sucks, and, you know.
Yeah, the battery life is definitely better on the Nexus. And I know the Droid also has pretty good battery life, too. So it's definitely a lot better than what it used to be. So I just posted in the RC. If you scroll down in that thread to the last posting, I have my three sets of settings, so they both work fine on both the Droid and the Nexus. And they should work on the older phones if you just drop the resolution down. I use a two-pass encode. Basically, with FFmpeg, when you do a two-pass, The first time, it doesn't really care about it. You can set it to actually output a file, but you really don't need it. So what you do is you just put it out to like a dev null, okay? And what it does is during the first pass, it'll go out and it'll encode the file, and it sets up a it creates a log file. And the log file, what it does is as it's going through the video frame by frame, it kind of maps out the way the file is going to be encoded. Okay, so then when it gets to the second part of the command, the second pass, it'll go against the log file and use that as like a roadmap and like autocorrect it as it's doing it. So the quality is a lot better than just doing a single pass encode with FFmpeg. So two passes FFmpeg is quite good. You get some pretty good results with it. I tried the MPEG-4 encoder, and I also tried the X264 encoder. The MPEG-4 encoder, the quality is pretty good, but the files were a lot larger than the X264. The X264 encoder, it gives you a very good quality file, and the file sizes are really small. If you use the first settings that I have in there, I think I have it set at like 480K rate for the video. You get some, like, I took like HD sources, like an hour recording, which is like around 4 gig, and it shrunk that down to about 350 meg file, and the quality is excellent at 800 by 480. And I'm very happy with the results of that. So I think the X264 encoder is the way to go. I'm not sure what Handbrake uses. I think you can set different options with Handbrake. What encoder you want?
Oh, Handbrake is very flexible.
Yeah, and Handbrake is a nice app.
Yeah, when you find the settings that work for you, you can save them and then you can repeat it every time. You know, and you can literally share the config file with between. The, you know, I could like email you a config file, and it just works. You know. I like Handbrake. Handbrake, especially the latest Handbrake, you can also... It used to be only were restricted to ripping DVDs with Handbrake, but now you can transcode as well. And that's handy. Very, very handy.
Yeah, so the thing about FFmpeg, within Myth, you can set up what's called user jobs, where you're able to go in and point the recording to a script, and then it'll kick up the script and use your files correctly. And this export is a plugin
that does
this for you automatically. So definitely, if you're running Myth, check out Myth Export. It's really nice.
I have to give them a try because I finally got the MythBox to actually record for me again, right? I traced it down. I got a stupid cable box. That's the best I can come up with. I think it actually goes to sleep if you don't use it in a while.
Which
I think
box do you have?
It does it.
The DC E700.
If you don't use it
for a while, what I found out is it doesn't pick up the first number on it. Sort of like
really?
it wakes up a little bit late. You catch the first number, and I guess you probably don't ever see it if you're just using the handset, you know, the remote, because you're pushing numbers very slow. On that one, I turned it down to like 1 second in between, and it still didn't work. So I rewrote the script so it actually sends the number twice, and knock on wood on my desk here. Well,
that's
it seems to be
idea.
Actually working now. So,
if it works for you, then use it.
Yeah, in my case, it's a good idea because it seems to be recording now. I'll probably jinx myself now, and it won't record again. I'll shut it off, but hopefully
Pat,
it works.
Did you see there's been some unboxings of the HTC Legend?
Yeah, they look like nice phones. It actually looks like a slight rev on the Nexus. Instead of the trackball, it has like an optical.
Yeah, that's the desire.
Control.
The Legend is more like a Rev on a Hero.
Right. Well, the Hero's a nice phone, too.
Rumor has it, I have a friend who has the Sprint Hero, and he says March 26th is the date they're supposed to get G1. Whether it's going to end up on the G1. But odds are, Cyanogen will probably get it ported. But hopefully by then I'm off of it. still kind of waffling on what I want to do. My contract's up in October, so I'm thinking of seriously thinking about switching back to Verizon, mostly because my family's over there and I can get a Droid and possibly or a Nexus One. So, although I don't know which one I want to get, but now I've heard not HTC, Motorola Backflip has been getting horrific reviews on AT&T.
Yeah, I read some stuff about it, and what I'm hearing is that AT&T has like disabled some things on there. For instance, it won't let you install any applications that are not in the official repo. So, you know, one of the nice things with Android is you can check off this little box that says allow applications from non-official sources, and you can pretty much go anywhere and install, you know, an application from a website or wherever. It doesn't make a difference. And it kind of sucks that, you know, AT&T is blocking that. And the other thing I heard they did was they took out Google as the default search, and they slapped in Yahoo, which is kind of weird. Because a lot of those, you know, those Google apps and whatnot, they're very tied in closely with Google search and whatnot.
Now that you mentioned search engines, wasn't there a story about Ubuntu changing their default search engine to something? I think it was Bing, I thought. Let me see if I can find it.
Ironically, you know, with AT&T being very restrictive and pulling crap like that, it kind of reminds you of like how Verizon was prior to the Droid. They were notorious for doing
yeah.
the same shit too. But at least they seem to learn a lesson, you know. They've kind of backed off a bit, you know.
Yeah, Ubuntu's
for the moment,
search engine is called Yahoo. Soon.
But they're just doing that for money, aren't they, Ubuntu?
Think so. Yahoo's probably offering them more, but essentially, though, isn't Yahoo and Bing like going to be the same thing, pretty much? I thought. I might be wrong on that, but I thought they were merging, or Yahoo was going to use the Bing engine. Anyway, I don't care. I mean, I can, as long as they don't restrict it from letting me use Google, I'm fine with that. They can ship whatever they want. I'll change it back. I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to get something. I don't know what I'm going to get. We'll see. I think after my birthday, which is on Easter this year, I'll find out more. Might start selling some things.
Bill's going to be working down on the corner selling some things.
That's right. How do you liking your G1, Dan? Is it still working good for you?
Dan's dead.
It's not. I don't think Dan's here anymore.
The phone exploded
I read
in his hands.
Where he really likes Mythmote, and you know, I don't have any views for Mythmote.
Oh, that's a cool app.
I am sort of getting a little bit tired of my. I have a Time Warner DVR, and I can't offload anything on it. Unlike
those things are annoying.
Yep. But one thing, and I actually posted about this week, and Link, you already offload video on your TiVo, right?
Offload video? Yeah, I watch video off my TiVo. Yeah.
They just, HP just added a free application to their MediaSmart server, which will automatically, for you, move it from TiVo to their HP MediaSmart server, and you can do the other direction, too. Not open source, but, and it's something I'd like to see in open source. I'd like to see something similar for maybe a Boxy. I think that would be cool if you can get your TiVo recordings onto Boxy. Of course, Link, you can already do that, so it'd just be nice to have the automation.
I think Link's already got the automation part.
Yeah, he scripted it.
Looks really good, too.
Yeah, that's what I write the scripts for.
Yep. You see, we don't need an automatic like the Media Smart. Although, if I get a Media Smart server, I'll definitely consider taking a TiVo, just because, you know, just for the heck of it, you know. Not because I would need it or anything. The Media Smart servers, you know, even though they're based on Windows, they're actually pretty nifty. And I just wish that we could do something the same with Linux, you know. The thing is, it could be even easier with Linux, but because you wouldn't even have to be beholden to some specific hardware like you are with the Windows Home Server, like the HP Media Smart stuff, you know. They've already installed the Linux on those things too. They're just PCs. They're headless PCs without it. There's no graphics card in it at all. So, I look for before too much longer. There's going to be some customized distros for those boxes. You know, they're nice hardware. You know,
those are those home server type deals, right?
Yeah. I've reviewed both the HP has a smaller one that has all the storage integrated, and they have a bigger one which actually has a hot swap bays and everything. And they're actually really kind of cool. The cool hardware. I'm not real hot on the software on it, you know, it's Windows Home Server. But in my case, it actually made my life easier in that I installed a client on my wife's PC, it would always back it up. And for some reason she screws her PC up, I can restore it over the network pretty easily. You know, not that I couldn't do that with Linux, I could, but it's just, dude, I ain't got a freaking time. You know, but it's not like I'm going to go out and buy one of those servers, though. I never actually had to send those two who had to send back. First
thing,
well, you would
use one of those. You would set up your own Linux server, you know? You know,
well,
like the target audience, you know?
Oh, no. But
Xbox, and that works great. It's GPL software.
But needless to say, I'm not going to go completely Windows. I never could. I can't.
I can't stand Windows, man. You know,
certain things I
can use anything Windows. It's freaking awesome.
I can't stand Windows.
I can't use it for a desktop. No way.
Boy, like the fucking plague.
If there's a specific app that I need Windows for, then I can stomach myself to get through it. You know, but it has to be pretty damn specific.
Yeah, I can't. So. I cannot use Windows at all anymore. It's too painful to me. Sometimes I have to fire it up in a virtual machine at work or help somebody else on their computer, and it's just...
Right, if you have to, like, test something or do a deployment or something.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat.
If you have to use GoToMeeting.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to, like, test, a package or something for a Windows deployment, so I have to fire up, you know, the virtual machine with Windows running in there.
It's awful when you go over to somebody's computer and they got, like 20 applications running on one screen, and you're like, oh my gosh. Virtual desktops, come on, it's 2010.
Yeah, my Nexus does awesome virtual desktops.
It does.
It even has almost a compositing kind of thing, you know, where you can exit out and see all your desktops, like, minimized. Like an
Don't
overview
you have
look.
Like a 3D gallery mode too.
Yeah, it has animated backgrounds too. Pretty nice. Like, there's one that I like is the they call it live wallpapers, and they have one that's like water with like leaves falling down from the sky, and when you touch the screen, you get the little water.
That reminds
pings,
me of
E17. You know?
Remember?
Kind of. Yeah. And there's another one where there's like a field of grass. And, you know, when you touch the screen, it's like the wind blowing it in certain directions. There's also another one that's like a galaxy that's pretty cool. It's like rotating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fancy schmancy crap. Yeah, it's eye candy, you know?
People like eye candy.
Yeah, but, I can see why Apple wants to sue HTC out of existence, man. You know, the Nexus and the Droid, they're both kick-ass phones, you know?
I have a friend who decided to go with the iPhone after I already showed him my G1. I had it before he got his iPhone. and he's been looking at these Android phones, and he's saying, hey, when my contract's up, I'm getting Nexus. He's actually set now. He might.
What is he getting? You're cutting out.
A Nexus one.
Yeah.
He'll probably have to switch providers, and or he might get some other phone that might work on. I don't know if he wants to switch from AT&T, but
I don't know who in their right mind wouldn't want to switch from AT&T.
From AT&T.
Yeah, from AT&T.
You're on T-Mobile now, right?
I mean, to AT&T. No, I'm still. I still have till July until I can get out of my contract. Without paying for it.
You're going to go to T-Mobile, right?
Quite possibly. You know what? It doesn't matter. Anything would be better than what I have now. When I was talking to my mom last night, the freaking phone call dropped 6 times.
Jeez. On your G1?
Yeah. Well, it's like that with any phone that we have. AT&T really? Is just horrible. I get a total of maybe two or three bars.
What's it like, dude? What's it like going to be like when the iPad comes out with the 3G iPad? I mean, God. I mean, it's this bad now with just the iPhone and all their other stuff, and now they're going to bring on these big devices that are designed to, you know, where they can stream audio and whatnot.
Hey guys,
and video and
what?
I hate to interrupt, but I got to get going. I got to make a phone call. But I wanted to ask a question of you guys and our listeners. It's an actual Linux question before I went. And that is, on Linux Mint, there's one thing on Linux Mint that annoys the living shit out of me, and I wonder if anybody can help me. I am used to mapping my Windows key on my various computers to open up a Xterm. Now, on the newest version of Linux Mint, Mint 8, I cannot figure out how to map the Windows key. Like, I know how you map a key to open up the terminal. You go into your menu, you hit the controls.
System preferences.
Center to keyboard shortcuts, you find the terminal, and then you press the Windows key. However, the Windows key doesn't ever show up as anything. It should show up as like super L. It shows up as nothing. It never shows up as anything. But if you press a control and the Windows key, it will pop up the mid menu. So there's some kind of weird funny-ass mapping thing going on that I have yet to be able to track. I've been all over the forums and everything. It drives me insane. If anybody knows how to fix this so that when I go in the damn keyboard shortcuts and press the Windows key, it actually says Super L, I would wholly appreciate it. So please, do me a favor and send me an email.
Well, let's see, did you look in keyboard preferences under keyboard layout options?
Dude, I've gone through the whole gamut. Anything you can find on Google, I've done 4 times already. So the answer is not out there on the web.
Meta is mapped to left when?
Did you run XEV to get the key code?
No.
If you run XEV, it'll give you the key code.
But that doesn't matter because you can't do anything with it in the keyboard assignment.
You gotta use the GNOME way. You can't use the old way. So you don't have to that, I've noticed.
Oh, let me go look at my.
I wanted to type in.
Linux Mint. I'll be right back.
I wanted to type in a copyright code. Basically, use the compose key. Hit a compose key OC to get the copyright symbol. And I had to actually set up my left Windows key as my compose key. And I did that from the system. So it works just fine.
I've done this. I've probably been pissing with this on and off for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. It really has driven me insane. And I cannot find any way to get Mint to actually offer me up the option of that Super L key when I go into the keyboard map. You know, when you go into keyboard shortcuts, it's just a like a GNOME utility, right? Keyboard shortcuts, you look underneath there, and it'll say, run the terminal. And when you press that Windows key, nothing happens. It won't pop up with the Windows key map to register the keyboard shortcut. I don't know why. I've gone through the keyboard mapping utility. There's a stuff out there that says, you know, you go under the layout and layout options and what is it, the alt key behavior, and I've tried some of those underneath there and changed it, and that doesn't do anything. I've also gone under preferences for the Mint menu and disabled the keyboard shortcut, the Control Super L keyboard shortcut, so that doesn't work, and then tried the keyboard layout options, and you still cannot get that Super L under the keyboard shortcuts, and it's driving me insane. So like I said, please, if anybody knows how to help do it, please let me know, because I sure the hell don't. It's crazy stuff.
Ay, ay, ay. Wait. I might have something for you, sweet lips. Give me a second. If only I could figure out how to navigate this damn thing. Where's the damn terminal?
There is, and by default, you have to add it to a custom shortcut.
Oh, there's the terminal.
GNOME terminal.
It's not GNOME, is it?
GNOME-terminal.
No. What is,
Well, they say it's GNOME.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Like, I can't get any shortcut to appear in there myself. I'm doing it on Carnival.
You can get anything you want, but you can't get the Windows key to pop up.
I have taken remapping
to Alt-X for now, so I can get my terminal up, but, you know, it just freaking driving me crazy, man. And it's not like this is something that is a problem, because I've noticed this on my Acer Aspire, or my Acer Aspire 3680. I've noticed it on Linux Mint on a Mac Mini. I've noticed it on...
Dude, I got to work.
I've noticed it on my Dell laptop at work, and on and on and on. So
I'll have to put Mint on a VM, but I actually got to work in Karmic, and if it uses the same application...
No, you got to do it on Mint, man. This is not an Ubuntu thing. This is a specifically a Mint problem.
Okay, the name of the app is
They're mapping that
shortcut?
Key somewhere else, and I don't know where the hell to find it, and you cannot get the Super L to pop
up. I call that mod 4.
Well, on Mint, it's super underscore L.
I got it.
And it doesn't pull up.
I got it.
How'd you do it?
I'll tell you what. How about you kiss my ass?
If it works, you bear it, and I'll be kissing.
All right,
you gotta click in the left-hand column or right-hand column. That's what I had to do.
This is
right,
what
like I never tried that one. Yeah.
If you shut up, I'll tell you what I did. This is what I did. I went and I opened up a terminal. I fired up gconf editor. I went under apps, Metacity, and down to key binding commands. I set command 1 to my terminal, okay? And then above that is global key bindings, and there's a key binding for run command 1. I set that to super underscore L, not inside the greater than or less than, just super underscore L. And now whenever you hit the...
You lost me. Where the hell
are you? All right, fire up the terminal and get into gconf-editor.
The edit keyboard shortcut.
There, man.
Okay, go down under apps, open that up, and go to Metacity.
Metacity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to key binding commands. find, like, the first one there should be Command 1, uh-huh. and it probably doesn't have anything after that.
Right.
In the value, put the terminal you want to open, like if it's GNOME terminal, it's like GNOME-terminal or whatever. Once you have set Command 1, let me know.
Okay.
Go to Global Key Bindings, which is right above that.
Right.
Go all the way down to Run Command 1.
Uh-huh.
And in Run Command 1, for the value, set it to super with a capital S, underscore L with a capital L. Do not put it in between the greater than or less than, like you see alt.
Right.
And then just exit out of it.
Some bitch, it works. You are the man. But you know what? This should not be that difficult to do.
No, it shouldn't.
There's got to be some other way to do that. But thanks. I hope I can remember how to do it tomorrow.
There might be another way to do it, but I have gone through this before with GNOME in particular for setting key bindings, and it is... I don't like it either. Glad I could be of assistance.
Why, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Dan, comes through again.
Thank you.
Anyway, it shouldn't be that difficult. I think Dan's kind of doing it the ass backwards way, but hey,
you know what? Prove me wrong, then.
I will, too, but there's got to be another way to do it. I'm going to do it Dan's way for now because it works. So.
There you go. I will, and I'll take screenshots, too.
There you go.
And email them.
Use
to
demo
you.
Recorder to show them.
Yeah, there you go.
Look at that. We actually got some tech in on the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Tech,
that's good,
man,
because I really have been ripping my damn hair out. Trying, like, all the little options underneath
anyway.
That menu. You know, you go to the keyboard layout and the advanced option thing, and there's all those alt windows key binding stuff that you can, you know, little different options you can check. Man, I have tried that and, like, logged in and logged out to restart X a million freaking times. And, you know, after the first 10 or 20 times, it really starts to irritate you. So I have been at the end of my rope with this for the longest time. So thank you for figuring out a way to make it work. And that's what kills me is, like, in 7, it was... worked fine. It was perfect. You know, you just go into the, you know, you press the Windows key and psh, up it comes and it does its stuff. 8, cannot get the damn thing to work.
Well, you got to play us out, Dan.
Yep, I got to get going.
Is it play out
happy.
Time? Damn!
Yep, it is. We wasted another hour and a half. It was good,
night-y
though.
Night.
Good night, Link.
And we had tea.
Yes.
And Diet Mountain Dew.
Just to throw something out there about the Android apps. Are any of you guys using Ziptroid?
I haven't installed. I haven't configured it yet.
What? Can you, like, post some instructions on how to use that? Because I'd like to try that out. Myself.
Just connect it right up. To the account that you have on our Astra server. I haven't had...
You
gotta
set up new extensions for us, Dan.
You want new extensions? I'll set up a new extension for you.
Yeah, give us some new extensions, man,
perfectly.
Just for the phones.
I've used it to call, you know, inside the asterisk, outside.
Do it.
It works great.
Do it, Dan. Give us extensions.
Send us some new extensions, man. We want to hook it up. We want to get the old Ziptroid working on the phones, man.
There you go.
Nice backups.
Definitely, because I almost didn't have internet. I didn't have internet when I got home. We didn't have cable TV either.
Now, that only works on Wi-Fi, doesn't it?
Nope, it should work on 3G. If I remember right.
I thought they had something in there that only worked on Wi-Fi.
You might have to do a... make sure you... get through state anyway. Fring. Holster says use Fring on a droid for...
Isn't that for Skype, Fring?
I what I thought. Let me look up.
It does SipTail.
I couldn't get SipDroid to work. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it's because I'm always going, even if I'm on Ikiga, I'm going through Ikiga.net or something like that. Maybe that's why.
And additionally, if you are using WordPress.
Yes, Spring does do SIP. Plus it does Skype, MSN Messenger, GTOP, AIM, ICQ, and Yahoo. It's also free. I'll have to install that. Damn.
There's so many good apps, man. Are you guys doing any SROMs or anything?
S what?
Nintendo ROMs?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't try that yet. All the Nintendo ones I saw were pay apps.
The Sega one's free. Gemsoid Lite.
Oh,
hey guys, I'm gonna pull a link here too, and I'm taking off. So, have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
The App Store SipDroid works on Wi-Fi, 3G, and Edge.
Oh, there you go. Hook us up, Dan.
I'd like to start it up early, like I'm on, when I'm on my way from somewhere. All in, I have to. If I'm out, like I'd like to at least try it and see how it sounds, you know.
The call quality on the Nexus sounds great, man. Very impressed with how good it sounds.
Alright, I will hook you up with Asterisk accounts.
Give us some Asterisk goodness, man.
Plus, I will also say, what are we cutting out here with tonight? It's, Panic from La Ola Express off the Panic album. Punk, reggae music. Hopefully it'll be good. We shall see. Next week it's just us.
So bring your content.
And make sure you wear a condom.
I don't know why you would need that bottom line.
Raincoat on.
Well, we don't want to get Gorkon pregnant.
Yeah, right. You're spooge to yourself.
Right. Who are you talking to?
That's Echo.
Alright, so here it is. Here's Panic from La Ola Express. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Sí, central. Aquí Halcón 10. Es para que le notifiquen a mi Cóndor 4 que las unidades enviadas resultan insuficientes debido a que aquí el personal presenta resistencia. Sigue bailando la muerte, siguen perdiendo los mismos, siguen ganando los fuertes, siguen gritando en silencio, siguen muriendo los muertos, siguen las puertas cerradas, siguen silbando las balas. Everything is the same. Pane, everything is the same. Pane, vamos borrando palabras, vamos tentando a la suerte, vamos forzando la máquina, nos vamos quedando sin verde. Vamos
everything is the same. Funny, funny, everything, everything is the same. Funny, funny, everything, everything is the same. Funny, funny, everything, everything is the same. Funny, funny, siguen sonando tambores, sigue bailando la muerte. Siguen ganando los fuertes. Siguen ganando los fuertes. Siguen ganando los fuertes. Ay, que siguen ganando los fuertes. Everything, everything is the same. Pane, pane, everything, everything is the same. Pane, pane, everything, everything is the same. Pane, pane, everything, everything is the same.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA Certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Riff Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's PP. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Alright.
Gun.
Okay,
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo.
Your, asterisk is set up. Hold on. It's set up. It's the same number scheme as your other asterisk account, except with the 3. Hold on, I'll just look in the admin.
Yeah, let me see. Okay. Let me try that.
Go ahead and try it and we'll see. Should work for you guys.
See my IP address and everything?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ring.
Everything's the same. I'm gonna change mine.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I was using my old SIP account.
Yay.
Wah, wah, wah. I can just look at the emails that, let's see,
Oh, where the heck is this? Thought it'd come up once. Yeah. see. Add-ons. That's it. Add-ons. SIP. Okay. Let's go to the keyboard. Real keyboard.
Hello?
Hello? Yep.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Ah, see, I'm connected.
Droid.
Do I have an echo? Am I getting an echo? Somebody say something.
Hello, hello?
Yeah, okay.
You guys should be good. It works for me.
I'm setting it up right now.
And you don't have to put the server IP address in. You can just put the linuxlink.net.
I put the IP address in there.
It works for me.
Let me check. I'll test it.
Joel says, he's gonna give you happy good times at the glory hole. Right, Joel?
You're sick.
Hello?
How you doing? There you go, see? Everybody's happy now.
Happy now, yeah.
Let me try SIP droid.
What?
It works?
I was trying Fring. Come on. Stupid slow G1.
Hinge will work, okay? Hold on, yeah. Let me meet the mic, hold on. Okay. Something. The volume is a little low, so much better.
It's a nice nifty thing to have.
It is, it's just an extra. A little extra on the side, you know? Can't help.
The linuxlink.net for the server, okay.
Yeah, how many times have I said that now? God.
Too many.
You don't need an S-tone server.
This is nice to have, man. You know, you could be on the road. Hook up, man. Not even your phone. Just get it connected, you know? It's a beautiful thing.
It is, isn't it?
Yo.
Well,
hi.
We hear you, man.
Huh. No suitable data network available.
Fine. Can you hear me okay?
What
protocol you use, Dan? UDP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't step wah.
I'm
gonna hang up on the tip. How much for that gore? Gun in the window. Alright, I'm gonna stop the recording. Pig.
Yeah.
Oh, that worked.
Yeah. It's a nice little app to have hanging around.
Mine's complaining about the data network.
Registered SIP droid. This is awesome.
And once you fired it up, it'll stay registered until, like, you get out of, if you're using it over wire. You can tell it's only using like, a wireless connection. You can
I see what it is. Now let me try it.
Booyah!
Are there any other settings that we might need?
Hello.
I don't know. That's the one. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, microphone gain.
Hey.
Is that your SIP?
Hey, it works.
Yeah,
it's SIP. Sounds really good, too, actually.
Damn.
Can you mute my other mic? There. That's better. I had to make sure I had 3G checked in the settings. So after I did that, it just fired right up. Sweet.
Wait, how do you?
Did I use the IP address? I don't know. I'm gonna hang this one up. Go back to my other one.
I'm gonna try boosting the mic.
Try using your headset.
Hello. Hi. How you doing, Safety Man? Open up that mouth, baby.
Alright. Where did it go? Damn it.
That is too cool, man. That is very cool.
It is.
I may have to use that one night.
Like when my daughter ran up the $500 phone bill and I had my service suspended for a little bit, I was making calls right over the SIP droid to where I need to make calls. At work.
That's too cool.
It is?
And that, now I can be on the tech show when I'm walking the dog.
There you go. And you don't have to tie up a phone line, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, hey, have you tried initiating a SIP call, then tried calling your phone to see if it still rang?
Hello?
Have I tried calling my cell phone from the SIP call?
No. Get on a SIP call and take another phone and call it.
Oh. No, I didn't try that.
Can I get more echoes out now? I boosted the mic in.
What?
Does it sound any better for me?
Oh, yeah, it does. It sounds a lot better.
Yeah, I gave it a little boost. It's not echoing, is it?
No. Oh, you know what? I just tried to call my cell phone from my SIP phone, and it just automatically ended the call. It didn't like that.
Hey, I'm going to go into the kitchen. Walk around the house and be on the tech show. That's been cool.
Say bye. Then don't say bye. Bam, bam, testing. 1, 2, 3. What's that smell? It smells like Joe McLaughlin. It's time to get the stream up. It's time to see what you wanna see. 'Cause you wanna be with me, and I wanna be with you too. Oh yeah, you want it all, so shut the hell up. Take it, oh wiener. Oh wiener, you're so special to me. I love hot dogs. Don't you? We've got streamage.
We've got streamers. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Who's talking to me on IRC? Back with a nice ice house. Just had another wiener. No laundry running now. Don't need it. Check the androids you called. Nobody. We're ready to start the show. I think I swallowed too many wieners.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I think I ate too many wieners.
That's nothing new.
Yeah.
You're always stuffing wieners in your mouth, man.
I can't help it. Like, my mouth opens and a wiener shoves in.
That's special.
Yeah. I'm thinking we should have a wiener party at Self and a sausage fest at OLF this year.
It's already a sausage fest. You don't need to have anything special, lecture or anything. It's like that normally.
Man, it's hot down here.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's been nice up here the last few days. All the snow's melted.
No, that's good.
Thank God, man. Enough of that crap. Hasn't been a fun winter.
No.
Nah, we got buried this year. But whatever. No bitching about it. Spring's coming.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, we still got like 20 minutes.
Yeah, we got time.
Whew, I'm sweating. What's our guest name tonight?
Christian Lenhart. We had him on about 3.5 years ago.
L-E-N-H-A-R-T?
L-I-N-H-A-R-T. L-I-N-H-A-R-T, yeah. Lenhart.
Yeah, I remember when we had him on before.
Been a while.
Yep. How the kids doing?
Yeah, we're good. How's everything down there? Everybody over the HIV?
I know my daughter's sick now. My oldest one's sick. I keep skirting it. But I haven't gotten sick yet, which is good. What else? I'll tell you what. This G1 phone is great, but the network it on is on really sucks. My wife called me like 8 times today. I didn't get a single call.
What are you on?
AT&T.
Yeah, there you go.
I called my mom last night. Sitting there in the living room, called my mom. The call dropped 6 times. I had to call her back 6 times.
I never have that problem with T-Mobile. Hold on a second. I gotta say goodnight to my son.
Six times, I tell ya! 6 times!
Hello, everybody.
How you doing? Hello?
Good night.
Have a good night. You know, I thought maybe the iPad had come out or something. It was so bad.
Yeah.
But that's not until, like, April or something.
AT&T sucks. You heard that they've limited the phone that they have. Now, Dan Fry, he got a Motorola Backflip, which is the first Android phone for AT&T.
Uh-huh.
He got one for his wife. I haven't really talked to him much about it. so I don't know all the details, but reading around what people have posted on the internet since it's come out, apparently they've disabled a bunch of features on there in a typical AT&T fashion.
Like, what did they disable, do you know?
They don't allow any apps from third-party repos. You can only go through the marketplace. They've swapped out Google as the default search engine and stuck to Yahoo. Watch all the crap like that. But alas, at least it's on there. People have a choice.
You know what? Maybe they should allow those third-party repos because, man, this service is really sucking ass.
What do you want? Monthly? Pay-as-you-go? What are you doing?
No, we had a family plan. Yeah, we had a family plan for, like, this is our, God, we've had this thing almost 4 years.
Oh, so you can switch any time, then.
Well, no, we're almost at the end of our contract.
What have you been doing, like, re-upping every year?
Yeah, we re-upped, and, like, right before the, Google phones came out, we re-upped about a year and a half ago. So we have till July until our contract's up. They tried to get me to re-up again. I was like, man, well, my phone broke, and I'm like, well, we have the maintenance plan on the phone. And they're like, well, if you want, we can give you a new phone right now, right here. We just have to,
sign it up for another 2 years.
Yeah, another 2 years. I'm like,
we get a free phone.
No. I'll take the replacement phone that comes in the mail. I don't need to make a phone call today or tomorrow.
Yeah. So they get you, man. That's where they make the money on the plan. They don't give a shit about the phone.
No, and then they charge you like $50 on top of the replacement plan to get a new phone.
That's a crappy phone, too, right? It's like a cheapy Nokia's.
Yeah, it was nice, though.
LG, Nokia, cheapy phone. You sitting on the crapper, man?
No, I'm sitting on my desk.
Oh, okay. You crapping on your desk?
Yeah, I'm crapping on my
desk. Dude, what the fuck happened with Linux cranks? And what the hell was that all about?
What do you mean?
What, they get all pissed off at Monster B or something?
I don't know.
You don't know? You want to talk about it?
I honestly don't know.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. We had a meeting, and we were going. They wanted to. Take Linux cranks in a different direction, and be a little more serious, and kind of do things a little differently, like not news and stuff and other things. And we had a discussion about it, and we were going to go in this direction, and everybody seemed happy about it. And we're going to take the month of March off, from what I understood, and come back in April. And then next thing I know, Peter64 is like, hey, you want to come on for the inaugural Kernel Panic Oddcast? And I'm like, sure. And I'm like, what happened to Linux Cranks? And they were like, well, we're going to do Kernel Panic Oddcast now. And I'm like, okay. Because they wanted to get away from the baggage. And then Monster B came out with Linux Kernel... whatever it is, Linux crank
rejects.
I don't know what it is. Linux crank outcast.
Yes. I was like, what the hell's going on over there, man? Sound like they're all pissed off at Monster B, except what's his name? Enigma.
So, I don't know. All I know is that Kernel Panic Oddcast was what they were looking, they changed the name of it, I don't know what was going on. Next thing I know, after we did the first episode, I heard about Linux Cranks Outcast, where Monster B says they all forked it, so I'm not involved in any of that.
going on. I just show up.
Well, alrighty then.
I thought it was all just a publicity hoax gimmicky thing. I don't know. But what do I know? I don't know a damn thing.
Like that show on Cartoon Network, what is it? Something High?
What?
There's some show on Cartoon Network. Drama High?
Oh, Drama. What is that? Pop, pop. It's not Total Drama something, is it?
Yeah, Total Drama High.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
What I don't like, when Cartoon Network has shows that aren't cartoons or animation on. I don't like that.
They've been doing that a lot lately.
I know. I like Destroy, Build, Destroy. I like it a lot. I just don't think it belongs on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it should be on like Cartoon Network 2 or something.
Did I mention you suck?
You can turn up your volume. I can't hear you for crap.
I can't hear it up.
That and... Well, it should be on, like, Nickelodeon or something. Not Cartoon Network.
Yeah, Cartoon Network.
You can't turn up your volume any louder.
Stuff.
No. I can't turn it up, actually.
Because, like, we can't hear you at all.
Dan, are you recording?
Yeah.
Are you streaming at all? You are? Oh, okay.
Why, do you need to say something?
I was going to talk to Link about something, but that's okay.
Hold on, I can stop the recording.
Nah, it's okay.
Are you sure?
I'll talk to him later. Yeah. I'll talk to him offline.
Is that better?
That's a little better, yeah. Total Drama Action, Total Drama Island. I never saw the League of Super Evil. I wonder what that is.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't like Stoked. I think that's it. I don't like Stoked. I don't like the animation of Stoked. It's kind of like the animation style of like the Barbie films and Bratz. I don't like those.
It sucks? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just don't appreciate that animation style.
Oh, Metalpocalypse is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that animation style.
Hello.
Hey,
Alan, doing? What the heck?
Heck what?
What are you on? Because it sounds like you're like talking through a tin can.
Really? Not that bad, huh?
I know, that's a little better.
I was going to say, let me disconnect and try again.
How about mine? Is mine any better?
Yeah, but you got a lot of background noise on it. You're plugged in, aren't you?
Who are you talking to?
You.
No, he has a fan running.
Link or Alan?
Link. Not you, Alan. Link. You got, like, some kind of feedback coming through your mic.
It's probably... I'm sitting right in front of my server, so...
I was going to say, it sounded like a fan in the background there.
I'm trying different pulse audio devices, trying to find one that actually turns my damn mic up a little bit, so...
pulse audio.
So what did I miss about Metalopolis there?
It's awesome. I love it.
Oh, I love that program.
We were just talking about different shows that were on Cartoon Network.
I picked up their second album. It has like an hour-long cartoon of them. It's like the whole album done in cartoon.
Really?
It's really neat.
Yeah, the animation, that's awesome.
Well, most half the time, the only way to understand the words is you got to put on closed captioning so you can understand what he's actually saying.
Yeah, well, that's Cookie Monster metal.
Yeah. Let me start up IRC here too. I forgot to do that.
Yeah, the best one, the best episode was the one he was playing the bass solo with his penis.
Yeah.
That guy's the best one.
Murder face.
Oh, he's funny. So stupid.
I don't know when the next new, when any new ones of those are coming out. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, they just finished up not too long ago.
Oh, every time I think about Facebook, I think about Claudio M., and then I think about his sister. I wonder what she's up to today. It's time to check out her Facebook picture profile. Oh.
I would have to say that I don't know what she looks like, Sam.
Well, you should friend her on Facebook. Claudio Miranda's sister, Vanessa Miranda. The one we're always picking on him about.
Never seen her.
Yeah, I know. Now you're forcing me to go over there and actually look. To find out where the hell to get the friends here.
Now I'm reminded that Corey Haim died today.
Aw.
You mean, aw, that sucks.
He looked horrible, man. I saw that reality show, like, one or two episodes when it was out a couple of years ago.
Corey and Corey.
Year before. Yeah, and he looked, you could tell he was all fucked up on drugs, that guy.
And you guys remember what the hell the option is on D-Package to list a list what packages you have installed.
List.
Get selections. Thanks for helping me look that up so fast.
I thought Dan had it. He sounded like he was all ready to give you the answer.
Ah, man, what is it? I forget. What, did you figure it out?
Yeah, it's get dash selection. Anon is asking me all these questions about installing a kernel or compiling his own kernel, and I'm trying to tell him that he's really running into Dan Washko territory there.
Yeah. Well, he'll do it like in the middle of something while like he's encoding something or, you know, streaming something.
While the show is on.
I haven't compiled a kernel in years.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's been
but
a while,
it's
man.
Been longer for me.
I did one a couple of years ago, is the last one I've done.
I did one once. That was enough.
I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Back in, you know, back when I ran Slackware real heavy for my
desktop. Exactly.
And
NetBSD when I ran NetBSD a lot. You know, you recompile the kernel there all the time. But, you know, anymore, the thing with compiling your kernel, machines have so much memory in them that it seems sort of counterproductive to spend all that time trying to recompile your kernel. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell are you really going to get out of it?
Yeah.
The same philosophy the Gen 2 I don't people. Understand with the Gen 2 ricers, yeah.
Did you read that? They had some kind of a paper where they compared, like, performance, like, on Gen 2 versus, like, Ubuntu. And the differences were, like, negligible. It was, like, not even 1%.
Yeah, 0.0 something seconds or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what a waste.
You spend a week tweaking your shit out, and you get nothing in return for it. So, I mean, I guess if you're really into that and it makes you feel good, then you know you're really not hurting anybody. But like, I'm not gonna do it on my system because I just don't have the time. You know what I mean?
You mean you actually have a life?
Yeah, I just have too much crap to do. That's why I go for Mint on my desktop, because the desktop Linux with the fewest additional modifications that I have to make in order to do what I do. So it just sort of makes sense for me to use that. It looks really good, you know.
I still got to switch it over to the desktop here. I'm running it on the laptops. And it's really nice. But I've just been lazy on the desktop here.
How's your desktop holding up, man?
It has seen better days. The power supply is slowly dying.
Yeah, you have the same kind of computer that I have.
Mine yeah, the power supply is slowly dying.
Yeah, mine was older than yours, and mine is freaking giant flaming piece of crap.
Well, I had a fan go bad in it, which was flipping it out for a while. And you can actually hear the fan and the power supply when you start programs actually wind down a little bit now. So it's like it just runs, and I'm just sort of like, okay, we'll just go until it dies again. Maybe by
what
one
I would be interested to know, Alan, is what seep temperature your computer runs at, your desktop.
Let me dig
tell
it up.
You what, mine runs at about 90 something Celsius. It's wickedly, extremely hot. It runs.
What was that again in here? It's under CPU info, right? In proc?
You have to have the temperature junk installed.
Oh, maybe I don't have that stuff.
What the hell is it called?
I know when I was getting all the errors on it, it was telling me what the temperatures were.
LMs, yeah, Kent's got it on the IRC. It's LM
sensors.
Sensors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody's saying, oh, damn, your CPU is running really, really hot. But what you don't understand is this is a P4 3 gigahertz single core CPU. And it's notorious for running massively hot.
Pretty hot, yeah.
My computer would probably run a lot better if I did something different with the fan in it. I mean, the CPU fan does work. However, it obviously doesn't keep it cool enough, right? Like, 100 Celsius is too effing hot. Probably normal on that particular CPU, since they really do run hot, is maybe 70 to 80 Celsius, which is really, really hot for any other CPU.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, when I was having problems with it, it was screaming, you know, all the time that there was. Let me see if I can get LM sensors put in here.
Yeah, I run LM sensors on mine, and I swear to you, it runs somewhere between the high 80s and 100 Celsius, which is, you know, somewhere around the temperature of the surface of the sun or some shit. I really need to replace that computer or shut it off before it burns my house down.
Yeah. Okay. Am I just an idiot and not seeing LM sensors here in the package manager, or am I looking for the wrong thing?
Hello?
You should be able to use AppKit. You like app dash cat
Christian?
Search LM something or other.
What is that? Is somebody making tea or something? What was that?
LM dash sensors.
That's what it sounds like.
Christian, is that you there?
One moment, I'm boiling my children.
Sounds like Klaatu Space so is
gray,
hit the atmosphere.
Who is that? Everybody mute yourself.
It's not me. It shouldn't be. Because I can hear it, so. Alright, I'm going to mute myself. No, I can still hear it. It's not me.
Yeah, this is us. You can still hear it, too.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
The application formerly known as Tetherberry has an Android version in the works and wants you to beta test it.
Man, what in the hell is that?
That's loud, man. Oof.
Oh, it's starting to fade now.
No, it's not.
Oh, it just blipped there.
Oh.
Joel's finally been reduced to nothing but bits.
I thought I heard somebody else.
I heard Christian, 16. I think it was, pop in there.
I thought so, too. It sounded like he said hello. But then you don't hear him anymore.
Oh, on now.
That was Christian.
Hey, Pat, so what's this application that you're working on for Android?
I haven't actually started coding it, but I'm kind of thinking of doing something related to the show. I was thinking initially that what we could do is, you know, just have like an RSS feed reader of the last episodes, and then they could download, you know, the recent episodes. So I've been playing around with some tutorials. And
in the background there he is.
It's coming back.
Christian!
He's coming!
Christian!
Yeah, if he's having trouble with the connection, maybe we should just give him a call on the landline, you know? Oh, I don't think everybody wants to hear the teapot boiling the whole, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm waiting for him to, actually,
You know, it's strangely enough, it's making me really want a cup of tea really bad.
Says he has a connection, but he doesn't hear anything. The twinkle.
We can hear you.
He can't hear us.
I really want tea, Ben.
Is he on IRC? Let me see. Is he on there?
Well, if he has a connection and he can talk to us, but he can't hear us, it's because he needs to have a SIP relay.
An S-ton server set up, right?
Yeah, he's having he needs an S-ton server. It's not getting the return communication is not getting back through.
Let me see. I don't see him in there. I don't see him in the RC.
Ugh.
You know what? I always wonder, why is it that we get such shit service with our communications on the show until I remember how much money we actually spend on it?
Well, you know what? By and large, we don't get crappy service.
No, we really, we do very well, actually. So, especially considering, you know, like, I'm sure that most of the people, you know, that listen to the show don't recall the Linux show, like the original, the Linux show. But
I know
bad
we that one
do,
was.
And yeah, we remember how bad the sound was on the Linux show. I mean, it was just absolutely horrendous. I mean,
join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest.
And they actually stopped their show because they went into debt. Thousands and thousands of dollars, or so they said, on, you know, the method of communication that they were using, which was, I believe it was conference rooms, right? They were using...
Yeah, they were spending, like, they said, like, $30,000 a month or something for that stuff.
All kinds of. I mean, you know, they were having problems paying their bills, and when we started ours, we decided, you know, hey, we can do this for nothing, pretty much, and we have employed a lot of different things. I mean, we've used hardwired communication. We tried anyway for a while, and we've used, you know, Asterisk on our mainstay, Gizmo here and there. But I think we get off pretty well for employing practically free technology. I mean, you know,
Dan, I don't remember what the
Pat graciously pays for our SIP hosting.
What is it that you just said, Alan? You don't remember the what?
I don't remember what the Stun address is, because I don't use it anymore over here.
Who uses the Stun address? What do you use?
How do you get by without using, what do you, you push the port through?
Gizmo. Gizmo, and it doesn't need it.
Well, let me look and see if I can...
Did,
see mine.
PIPBusters.com, I think it is. PBuster.com.
Yeah, right. Let me. I'm trying to get through my stuff.
Don't tell me, man. Tell it in the IRC.
Yeah, well, I don't remember exactly if that's the right name or not.
I don't know.
S.voicebuster.com is what I'm using.
Stun.voicebuster.com.
Yeah. STUN.voicebuster.com.
All right, Christian's enough. He's in the RC now.
That's what I'm using. From my S-Ton server. S-Ton server.
Are you using Twinkle, Link?
Yes, I am. Yep. That's my mainstay, man.
Maybe you can answer his... or tell him where... this, I'm sure he knows where the Stun server is. The Stun server set up.
You can hear us, right? So you go to User Profile, and then under... Transport/NAT.
No, he's not on anymore.
He's in the RC, though.
Yeah, he's in the RC, but he's not connected anymore. I keep disconnecting him because of the teapot.
Teapot? Tea kettle's going off?
I'm a little teapot, sure and stout.
Here is my handle, here is
there
my...
There you go.
Here's my spout. Yeah, I couldn't remember what the next, what the rest of it was. The sort of advantage of not having kids is I don't have to remember those things anymore.
Yeah, Alan's version goes like, here is my penis, put it in my mouth, or something like that.
Oh, that's disgusting!
Oh, and I'm so glad that it came from you and not me.
I'm a little teapot short.
I haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks, so I gotta get it all out, you know.
Here's my handle, here's my spout. When I get all steamed up, I just shout, tip me over and pour me out. I didn't know there was four verses to the song. I am very special pot, it is true. Here is an example of what I can do. I can turn my handle into a spout, tip me over and pour me out. I'm a little too... Oh, wait, then it repeats the first one. I'm a very special pot, it is true. Here's an... Oh, it's just a repetition. Well, it's only two verses. I'm a little Alan, hear me shout. Wait, I'm a little Alan, with a pout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. When I get all horned up, I just shout, Timmy me over and pour me out. it's been a long time.
You suck, dude.
It's been a long time since we had a Timmy in.
Gotta throw
TimmyTouches.org.
Where's Joel tonight? Is he at church again or something?
I don't know, man. Let's go listen to his podcast. Doesn't sound too good.
Joel's?
Yeah. Not the audio production, but the actual content. I don't know, man. He didn't sound too good.
Like, sick-wise?
No.
Like, did he do a show today?
It was a couple days ago, I think.
Life in Ohio?
That's the name of it.
Life in Ohio.
Life in Ohio.
So I haven't been able to get my CPU temperature to come up, but my hard drives are running at about 102.
You got to reboot in order to get LM sensors to work right.
Yeah, and I can't do that now, so.
It has to load a kernel module.
Alright, well, I can't do that now, so.
Well, screw you, man.
Sorry about that.
Hello?
Here comes the teapot.
How you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. this is Christian Lienhardt. I've now managed to set up the Twinkle to connect to you.
And you can hear us fine.
Hear us all right?
Yeah. Very good sound quality. All right.
Rock and roll, baby.
Twinkle to the rescue.
Start the show, Dan.
Hold on a second. What is that? What is
sounds
that?
Sounds like a teapot.
Chris, talk a second.
Yeah? Okay,
what is that that beeps when... Like, when you're quiet, it just... You don't
like
hear that, do you?
It's maybe my new notebook. The sound card is not the best one, I think.
Okay.
How does it sound?
When you talk,
great.
It
when you're
fun.
Talking,
you just so, gotta keep talking.
Yeah, you're gonna have to
okay,
talk
so
nonstop.
What? Okay, so
no problem.
Should we talk about demo recorder or some other topic?
We'll talk about all of it. Don't worry. When we start the show, we'll be talking about it. We didn't start the show yet because we were waiting for you.
Okay.
And what you could do, Christian? Can you mute yourself when you're not talking so we don't hear that feedback?
Actually, do you know how to? You can mute yourself, right?
With Twinkle, where can I do it?
There's a big yellow button up at the top. Says
I mute. Okay, I see.
Mute it a second, and we'll see if that hum comes in.
Sounds quiet now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I pressed the mute for a second.
Did you just press the mute now?
No.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know whether... Because I was going to say it didn't mute you. It did. All right. Well, Chris... there it is. It's like the Twilight Zone. It's like the episode, the movie Them. Remember the movie Them with the giant ants? And when the giant ants were coming, you'd hear that noise, and as it got closer, it was louder.
I don't know that movie.
You never saw Them?
You're missing
it's really
one.
Old. It's from like
he's back through his headphones. Because if you listen, when the tea part gets strong, we all get echoey. All
right, well, Christian, we're going to start the show, and everybody's going to have to mute themselves anyhow. So I'm going to play the promo stuff, and then we'll get right into talking to you. All right?
You know, Christian,
okay.
Are you using headphones?
Yes, I use a headset.
Do you have something
to I can mute the headset for a second. No, I've muted the microphone for a second.
Yeah, either one that you mute, whichever one's easier when you're not talking, if you can do that, that would be best.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it'll prevent the giant ants from attacking.
Yeah, it's a little...
Okay.
All right, so...
We haven't started yet?
I thought you were dead.
Nah, I was just late.
Talk lower.
Do I hear someone practicing like an instrument in the background?
Violin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good
my apologies.
Play in the background all the
that's
time.
Not, you know what? We encourage...
Could be worse. It could be the tuba.
We encourage...
yeah.
Hey.
We
what the
encourage
hell is wrong
music.
With the tuba, man?
Nothing's wrong with the tuba.
Nothing.
We'll get the out now, damn it.
Bob.
I'm going to see if I can get the kids fighting
now.
In a minute, so we'll have the trifecta there. Right.
Actually pretty good. Much better than I thought he would be.
Testing. Alright, okay. Let me play you
join
some
us
audio
for the 2010
Southeast
Linux
down,
Fest
I don't
as we once
blow
again celebrate Linux
up.
And open source software with GNU/South.
A little loud.
The overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the...
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Echo.
That's how loud it's going to be. Okay. If it gets any softer...
I'm hearing an echo.
I know you're hearing an echo. I told you, when I play the music, you're going to hear the echo if you don't mute.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so can we start? We're going to start now, okay? Wow, we have 43 minutes of recording already. We haven't even started the show. It's going to be a long back track there. All right, here we go.
Go.
All right. Yeah, mute yourself. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Now.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Riff Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.